What's up, everyone? Eddie Mercado here with BloodyElbow.com, and I'm about to interview the 9-1 Colby Covington ahead of his UFC 202 bout with the debuting Max Payne Griffin. So we're going to give him a call and find out how his training has been going for this fight, and maybe find out his game plan. Is he going to stick with his usual grinding wrestler style? Or is he going to unveil some new tools that he has been working on his feet? So let's give him a call and find out what he thinks.
Hello?
Mr. Colby Covington.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Eddie?
How you doing? Eddie Mercado here with Bloody Elbow. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You got a big fight on your hands, UFC 202. It's a huge card that's headlined by Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor, too. So, I mean, this is a huge, huge event, huge card to be on. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm excited. You know, I'm excited that the UFC wanted to give me a quick turnaround, you know. I think they want to give me some good exposure. So, you know, I'm very thankful for that. I'm just ready to put on a beautiful show for the fans.
Okay. Now, of course, you're coming off the UFC Fight Night 89 victory over Jonathan Mounier, however you say it. It was a third-round submission victory, a classic club and sub, if you will. You dropped him with the spinning back fist, and then you strangled him with the rear naked choke. A very impressive showing, and this was June 18th, so, I mean, this just happened. Now, why the quick turnaround? Why so eager to get back in there?
You know, I got a lot to prove, you know. I want to prove what I feel, you know. And right now, I really do truly feel like I'm the best welterweight in the world. I feel like my style matches up well with everybody in the division. And I'm ready to make my mark, you know, on any amount of time. You know, they called me, you know, a week and a half ago, and I told them, let's do it. You know, I was ready for Neil Magny if that was going to happen, because his opponent got turned down. But, you know, I want the quick turnaround, and I think it makes sense to put me on the card because, you know, in case someone gets hurt or something happens, I'll be ready to step up into a bigger fight. So, you know, Max Griffin's my opponent, but if one of the bigger fights fall off, I'll be ready to step in. So I'm just excited and thankful for this opportunity and ready to show what I'm truly capable of when I'm healthy.
Okay, awesome. Now, of course, you were a two-time All-American in your collegiate days. Can you briefly touch on what you take away most from your wrestling career that really helps you out in your MMA career?
I think I just take away the most is probably the mental side of it. You know, it's a grind. College is no joke. You know, having to manage school and then having to go to two practices a day, usually one at 6 a.m. and then one at 3:30. It's just a grind, you know. And to have those grinding skills for a fight, it just translates so well, you know, and that mental aspect of just, you know, never giving up and having that never quit attitude and just being able to work through any situation, you know, whether you're rocking a fight, whether you're hurt, whether you're tired. You don't think about those circumstances, you know, you just think about wrestling and fighting and just, you know, just trying to come out on top. So, you know, wrestling, you know, has instilled some great values in me, and I'm very thankful for that.
Okay. Now, how you're saying college was no joke. Now, one of your roommates, former roommates, John Jones, you have been very vocal about in social media, via Twitter. You're very liberal with your opinion on John Jones. Now, when he got popped and taken off UFC 200, you had tweeted out that you weren't surprised. Now, can you kind of elaborate on exactly what you meant by, you know, you're not surprised that your former roommate popped for substance abuse?
You know, I don't really want to get into that, you know, that's more, you know, I want to just worry about myself right now, you know. What I said is what I said, you know, I think it's pretty self-explanatory what I meant by it, but I'm not going to really elaborate on it. He is who he is, and you know, he's going to continue to make the decisions that he makes, and, you know, his actions speak for himself, so, you know, I think it was just kind of self-explanatory what I said.
Okay, and is there no more relationship between the two of you? Has that been severed?
Yeah, there's no relationship. You know, he had some anger issues probably because of stuff he was doing before he left college, and we kind of we had a pretty big falling out before he left college, and, you know, that's that. You know, I'm on my path, he's on his path, and that is what it is.
Okay. Well, right now, your path, you're 9-1 with 6 submissions, and you're 4-1 inside of the UFC with 3 submissions. Now, you know, personally, of your 4 wins, the most impressive to me was the Mike Pyle win. It was a short notice fight, if I'm correct, and you took him to a decision, which nobody does. I mean, absolutely no one takes Mike Pyle to a decision. So that absolutely impressed me. Of your UFC career thus far, which would you say was your favorite performance?
Yeah, probably Mike Pyle, you know, just because of the circumstances. I took the fight on 2 weeks' notice, you know, and I wasn't really training. I was just kind of hanging out, just, you know, living life, just enjoying being, you know, just enjoying being a kid, you know, and just having fun. And to be able to step up on that short notice against a game opponent like Pyle, who was, you know, a top 15 fighter at the time, I think he was 15. So that was a big win, you know, and just a big confidence builder to show me that, you know, I can compete with anybody in the world. And, you know, I'm pretty happy about that performance given the circumstances. So, you know, it's a building block for the future.
Okay. Now, following the Pyle win, you faced Warley Alves, quick submission defeat. Now, can you said you were injured before that fight. Can you kind of touch on the injuries you were facing going up to it and kind of what you learned facing Alves?
Yeah, I mean, I fractured my rib 2 weeks before the fight, you know. The UFC knew about it. I had to get cortisone shots just to be able to even think I could fight, you know. But I wasn't in my right mind frame to even take that fight. It was, you know, I was stupid for even going in. You know, I was almost like, you know, it was a big mistake, you know, and to not go into a fist fight, you know, unless you're fully healthy, you know, because anything can happen in a fight, you know. I could break a hand or get injured in the fight, but that's a different circumstance to work through. But to go into the fight, you know, at 50%, you know, is just a stupid idea, you know, and I think he knew about it because we got some Brazilians in our gym and America's top team, and I think that we got some rats, some guys that, you know, probably said something because, you know, I was training with a Brazilian that day when my rib popped in training. I screamed and yelled and I was on my back, and I think they probably said something because the first thing he did is come out and threw a kick right to my right rib, which is the injured rib. You know, that just kind of put me into shock. I backpedaled and boom, boom, I put my neck down. He was able to grab a guillotine. So, you know, that was a big learning lesson for me, but, you know, it lit a fire under my ass that I never thought I had. It's helped me really well round out my skills, and it's only going to serve me well in the future. You know, I don't feel like I have no pressure on me anymore. You know, I have that loss on my back, so that is what it is. Everybody loses in mixed martial arts. That's just the game, you know. So, you know, I learned a lot from that. You know, I'm not going to go into a fight injured again, but, you know, you're going to see a different fighter going forward.
Okay. Now, do you have any idea who the rats might be?
Just Brazilian guys. You know, I don't want to call out guys, you know. I don't want them to think it's a personal thing. It's just, you know, the that's just kind of how the gym is. You know, it's a little bit, you know, it's not separated, but, you know, we're kind of a little bit, you know, we got the Brazilians who are, you know, they're cool with their little cliques, and, you know, we kind of stay away from them. You know, there's some cool Brazilians, don't get me wrong. I'm not chastising all the Brazilians. I'm just saying that I think some of the Brazilians are more friendly with their countrymen, you know, because those are their countrymen. We're just at a gym, you know. I came from Oregon, they came from Brazil, so, you know, I think that, you know, they probably were going to take their friend's side, you know, over me.
Okay. Now, in your last bout, you dropped your opponent with a spinning back fist. Now, can you kind of speak on the evolution of your MMA game and kind of assess where your striking is as of right now?
Yeah, my evolution has taken a big, big leap in the last year. You know, I've really focused on my striking. I know that my grappling is, you know, up there with anybody in the division. I don't think there's a better grappler in the division, in my personal opinion, than me right now. So I knew I had to branch out and I had to really start, you know, evolving my striking game. So, you know, because guys obviously at their head, they think I'm going to wrestle them now. So, you know, I've just really taken a lot of time and worked on my karate and worked on my kickboxing and Muay Thai. And I'm a different fighter now, you know. I'm not just a wrestler anymore. I'm a very well-rounded fighter. You know, I'll use wrestling if I need to in fights, but, you know, the fights that that maybe I fight another wrestler, you know, you're going to find out how good my striking is.
Okay. Now, on your plate right now, Max Griffin, he's 12-2. You will be welcoming him to the UFC. Now, he has 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. Are you going to test your striking out and try to stand with this guy, or can we expect to see, you know, your typical Colby Covington, you know, pressure wrestling game?
I think you guys can expect a finish from me. You know, I don't know where it'll be, but, you know, I'm not going to predict what I'm going to do because I don't even know what I'm going to do until I'm in the fight. If the wrestling's there and I want to take him down, then, you know, I'll take him down and beat him up, choke him out, you know, do whatever I need to do to get the win. But, you know, if he's really, you know, favoring and thinking that I'm going to take him down and really looking to decide to take him down, I'm going to come upstairs with strikes. So, you know, that's his problem. He has to worry about what I'm going to do to him. I don't have to worry about if he's going to wrestle me because he's obviously not going to out-wrestle me. He has a better chance to hit the power of the lottery than do that. So, you know, I'm not really too worried about what he's doing. I'm just worried about going in there and implementing my game plan.
Okay. Now, have you scouted him at all? Have you reviewed any tape on him? Or do you kind of leave that up to your coaches?
Yeah, I leave that up to my coaches, Mike Thomas Brown. You know, he gives me such good insight on the guys that we fight. You know, he takes notes and he really studies opponents. So, you know, I just worry about what Mike says. You know, he said he's got a right hand. That's what he likes to favor, his right hand. So, you know, we're prepared for his right hand, you know, so we're ready to go.
Okay, awesome. Now, you say you don't have a prediction for the fight because you don't know what you're going to do yet, but what about the main event for the night? Conor McGregor taking on Nate Diaz for the second time. Who you got?
I got to go with Diaz. You know, he's got a full camp now. Last time he was supposedly coming off a boat, drinking tequila, and, you know, not even really in the gym. So for him to do what he did last time, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be a similar outcome, but maybe a little bit more dominant this time. But Conor's hungry, you know, and he's a tough guy to bet against. But if I had to bet, you know, I'd have to go on Nate Diaz.
Okay. Now, did you catch UFC 201 this past Saturday? Robbie Lawler dropped his title to Tyron Woodley. Did you catch it?
Yeah, I caught that.
Okay, and what are your thoughts? I mean, ATT represented kind of on both sides of that fight.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. You know, I don't think a lot of people expected that, but, you know, if there was any way Tyron was going to win, it was going to be something like that, you know, a quick knockout, you know, within the first round or two, you know, with that right hand. He's got a good right, explosive right hand. So, you know, I mean, hats off to him for, you know, the timing and the precision and accuracy that he put behind that punch. But, you know, Robbie's a warrior and he's a true fighter and he'll be back stronger than ever.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel you stack up against the champ?
I feel like I stack up real well against the champ. You know, he brought me in to train with him for 2 weeks before he fought Rory McDonald in training camp. And, you know, I'm not going to put him out there and say, but, you know, I definitely felt like I was getting better. You know, I feel like, you know, my skills match up very well against a guy like that. You know, I have things that I can do that he can't do. And I think he knows that. And I'm looking forward to making my run to the title.
Okay, so it's fair to say that is your goal for this whole MMA thing, is you want the belt.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm in this. I got in this to be the best. I want the belt. You know, I had one little bump in the road, but, you know, that wasn't the same me that's right now, a healthy me who's evolved and worked on my weaknesses. You know, I'm a different person now, and I want a title shot. I'm going to be looking to get that within the next year.
Okay, awesome. You got any sponsors or any people you want to give a shout-out to?
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Miley in St. Louis, the Vietnamese restaurant. They sponsored me. They're one of my big sponsors, and I'm just very thankful for them for what's happened in my back. They also support Tyron Woodley, so it's kind of a mutual relationship. And, you know, I'm just very thankful for them. And then Cryospace, they're a recovery recovery cryotherapy treatment program, and I'm pretty thankful for them too. So,
okay, now how can people get a hold of you or follow you on social media? What are your handles?
On social media, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Colby Cov MMA, and then Facebook, I'm just Colby Covington. So please follow me and watch my journey.
Awesome. Well, Colby, thank you so much for taking out the time. You got UFC 202 coming up, welcoming Max Griffin to the UFC. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. You do the same.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, folks. The 91 Colby Covington, title aspirations. But first, he's got to welcome Max Payne Griffin to the UFC. Tune in to UFC 202 to find out who wins. The headliner, of course, is going to be Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor 2. Check it out. Until then, read me on bloodyelbow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TheEddieMercado. Go be a good person.